We've been talking about truish, the biblical perspective on things people say, because people say a lot of things. They say a lot of things, and even as it relates to biblical truth, people say a lot of things. And we're looking at truish things because there are true things that people say, and there are false things that people say, and then there are truish things that people say. They contain enough truth to be believable, but they are not entirely true. And today we're looking at Malachi chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 1 in this series. And we're talking this morning regarding the idea of money. And we started it last week and about the biblical view of finances in light of the truish teachings of the prosperity and poverty doctrines that are kind of proliferate out in our world right now. And we've talked about the idea last week that tithing is stewardship. And I encourage you, today we're going to be talking about the covenant of blessing and what's the truth about covenant of blessing. But I encourage you, if you weren't here last week, then I encourage you to go online and listen to the audio of that. And we have a new feature on our online selections, and that is you'll be able to download the notes from the sermons as well whenever you go online. The notes that you that are available here in the service are now available online as well for the different lessons that are up. So if somebody doesn't get to hear live the sermon and get the notes in their hand, they can still have access to them later on. So last week we said that you have favor with God because you're God's child. You can't buy your way into it. You can't give enough for it. You are His child, so you have His favor. We also said that stewardship is God's plan for His household. That's His plan, not ours. We didn't write it. He did. And then we said that God designed stewardship results in God's blessing. The curse of the law is broken. God fulfilled the law and therefore broke the curse, the power of the curse. That's just a fact. But the blessing of obedience remains a reality in our life and in our world right now. That is true. And so today we're focusing on the truth regarding the covenant of blessing that remains applicable to our lives. And it's interesting that our reading, our devotional reading today in Joshua and in Psalms both deal with the concept of covenant with God, the covenant with God. God said to Joshua, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. Follow what I'm saying, and I'm going to make sure that you step into this covenant land, this land of promise. I'm going to make sure you step into it with power and authority, and you're going to take territory. So today we're looking at Malachi chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. He said, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. That's an interesting phrase, is because it's one of the only times in Scripture that God ever says that. Put me to the test, or try me out. Check it out. See if this is true or not. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what he's giving here, he's making a covenant statement. It's an if-then statement. If you will do this, then I will do this. If you'll bring the full tithe into the storehouse, then I will open the heaven to bless you and rebuke the devourer. Now, the tithe in Old Testament and New Testament, it was for the running of the temple. So you brought your tithe to the temple where you were ministered to by the priests of God. That's how it was. So when he says the storehouse, that's what he's talking about. Our big idea today is this. God designed stewardship is God's plan to empower your life and his kingdom. God designed stewardship. And you'll notice that I'm putting that in everything. God designed stewardship. Because if we just go off and do our own thing, it does not have the same authority or power as a God-designed thing. A God-designed thing. So a God-designed stewardship. Now, last week I mentioned something, and then after mentioning it, I apparently confused it. Because I got a lot of questions about it, so I want to try to clarify it. I talked about the fact that we tithe on increase. And I confused it by a little bit by giving an example of someone who was tithing from their business. They were tithing personally, but they were tithing from their business. And so I gave an example of that in at least one of the services. Sometimes I don't give the same examples in every service. And so I apologize if I'm confusing you now. You probably didn't hear this. Okay. So I had several questions this week just saying, hey, can you, I don't get the increase part. How do we tithe on increase? Here's the increase that comes into my life as an individual. I give my time. And I give it in exchange for typically a paycheck. So the increase in my life is a paycheck from the time that I invest. And so in our family, when we receive our paycheck, we tithe off of our paycheck. That's the increase of my life. And then the 90% that's left, that's where I run the rest of my life, comes out of that 90%. And I did math in one particular service last week, and I got the math wrong. I'm not doing math in this service today. So 10% is 10%, and 90% is 90%. And so that's what I'm talking about via, about increase in our world as an individual. As a business, if you're a business owner and you say, I want to tithe off of my business, which many business people do, then that's an entirely different calculation, and I'm happy to talk to you about it if you'd like to. But just for most of us, we go to work, we put in our time, and we receive our paycheck. That's the increase to our house, and then we live off the 90% of that. Now, I hope that I'm going to clear that up this week and it'll be helpful. But I have three thoughts for us today regarding this concept of the covenant of blessing. Thought number one is this. The covenant of blessing proves that increase is God's will for your life. Now, there was a bit of a discussion as we were talking through this about the idea of God's will for my life. God's will versus God's desire or plan. And I thought it was a fantastic discussion, a fantastic point to be made. The reason why I believe it's God's will for our life that we see increase is because God put that reality into our very DNA from the very beginning of life. God created humanity. And he inserted this DNA of increase in our world. In fact, Pastor JP just put up a picture of increase on the screens. Because he did have two children. And now he has Trace children. Three. I try to throw in a little Spanish every once in a while. There are some folks, I met somebody just recently that has seven children. That is increase. Lord, protect me from that kind of increase. Anyway, that is increase. Let's read the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And I'm taking little pieces out of two scriptures here. It's not out of context, but I encourage you to read it just to make sure that I'm right. He says this, so God created human beings in his own image. God's creating humanity. He creates them in his own image. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Before we have a record of God naming Adam and Eve, he blesses them and commands them to increase. There is increase built into your DNA and into my DNA. Before anything else, God said, I'm blessing you and I'm commanding you. I'm encouraging you. I'm putting it in you. Be fruitful and multiply. If you put the timeline slide up there for me, we used this last week. We see this. You see, Abraham is the very first tither. And he doesn't have any children at this point, but God begins to bless him. And he becomes very wealthy, number one. And then number two, he ends up having children. He becomes the father of the nation of Israel. But if you go to his grandchild, Jacob, Jacob is tithing. Abraham tithed out of gratitude. Jacob tithed out of covenant. He said, if you will bless me, I will give you 10% of everything that you give me. I'll give it back to you. Now, when he made that covenant, he was laying on the ground. His head was on a rock and he had nothing to his name. He was running away from a bad situation and he had nothing to his name. But God blessed him. In fact, God blessed the fire out of him, which is a great southern term for you. And he blessed him, and Jacob ends up becoming very wealthy, and then he ends up becoming the father of 12 sons, which we know as the children of 12 tribes of Israel. And so here is a tremendous blessing in Jacob's life that comes from this covenant of tithing that he makes. Now, in both Testaments, Old Testament and New Testament, God blesses his people both materially and spiritually. All the way through, you see it, materially and spiritually. So if we agree that God can bless his children, then we also must agree that God cannot bless his children. In fact, God can give or God can withhold. He does not have to give. He's not obligated to give. But the Bible does tell us this. He says that, the scripture tells us that God will cause it to rain on the just and on the unjust alike. So there are people in this world who invest well and they become wealthy and they are strong because the rain of God falls in their life just like it would fall on the one who is righteous or who is a child of God, a believer. The difference between the two is this. While, yes, natural law applies to everything anyone on the planet does, supernatural law applies to those who are believers and who are stepping into covenant with God in a supernatural way or a way of faith, the law of faith. If you're scared by the word supernatural, just say the word faith. The law of faith ends up becoming a reality in the life of the believer. And so here you have someone who is not a Christian and yet is blessed. It's because they're doing a good job, they're working hard, they're investing well, and there's good things that come of that. And if you're a believer and you're investing well, then there's going to be the natural law at play in your life. But sometimes natural law has not been good for me. I'd like to say that every investment I ever made was fantastic. It all worked out well, just like I thought it would. And it's a good thing I'm already here at the altar, because that would all be a lie. The fact is, sometimes I need something bigger than myself to take me to the next level. And that's where the believer's covenant, the covenant of blessing of the believer, becomes such a big element in my life, in your life. Scripture teaches repeatedly that when we operate according to God's plan, there are great blessings involved. Now, every blessing of God is not a financial blessing. Sometimes God will bless us with an idea, or he'll bless us with a relationship, or he'll bless us with something that comes out seemingly out of nowhere, and it doesn't even seem to have a tie to what it is we've sown or what it is we've given, but somehow it all begins to work out. I can tell you stories of phone calls that I received, and suddenly we had opportunities that did not exist previously, as God just continues to open up right doors in our life, and I know he will and does in your life as well. But no matter if it's financial or not, the blessings of God bring increase. They increase our life in different ways, in different manners. Our life becomes better because of what God's doing and his interaction in our life. Thought number two is this. Covenant of blessing places the responsibility on the steward. On the steward. Steward is the one that decides, will I live in this covenant or not? Will I engage in this covenant or not? I want us to remember that there's no punitive element to this, because the curse has been removed. So this isn't a sermon about, hey, if you don't do this, then bad things will happen. That's not what I'm saying at all. We're saying that natural law will apply. If you do good things, whether they're in covenant with God or not, good things are going to happen in your world. The only time that that does not happen is if you leave this earth without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There I can make no promises. But when you do good things will happen because of how natural law works. But we get to determine if we're going to step into covenant with God or not in the area of finances. He said this, if you will. He didn't say, I'm gonna, and then you. He said, if you will. It's a step of faith on the part of the steward. We're giving, trusting God to keep His promise. That's the step that we have to take. That's the investment that we have to take in this covenant. Now, prosperity doctrine teaches that giving results in automatic wealth. And it's not true. It's not true. Jesus didn't teach this. He taught in a parable, in several parables, but we'll break one down. In the parable of the master going on a trip and giving talents or sums of money to his three servants, he taught us a couple of lessons. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I do encourage you to read it and make sure that what I'm telling you is true. But he says in Matthew 25 that a master was going on a journey, so he took three servants and he brought them to himself and he said, listen, I'm going away. I'm going to give you some money here that I want you to handle. I want you to manage it while I go away. And so he gives one servant 5 talents. Then he gives the next servant 2 talents. And then he gives the third servant 1 talent. You see how it just became 3 people right there all at one time? It's pretty good. And so he goes away and he comes back and he holds them to account. He says, hey, tell me what you did with it all. And so the servant that got the 5 talents said, Master, I invested, I doubled the money. Here's 10 talents. Great. I'm going to give you even more talents so that you can continue to invest the way that I've called you to. You did a great job. Excellent. The one that was given 2 talents said, Master, I invested as well, and I have 2 additional talents that I'm bringing to you, and here they are. And then the master said, great job, excellent, good work. Then the guy with the 1 talent, the servant with the 1 talent said, Master, I really didn't know what to do. I was a little scared that you were going to get upset if I lost your talent. So what I did was I just buried it in the ground, and now here it is. It's a little dirty, but it's here. I didn't lose it. And the master was angry and he punished that servant. And he punished that servant because that servant had not done what he was asked to do. He had not managed the resources properly. He had not fulfilled a God-given or a master-given vision for those finances. He didn't even really try. Now, we see a couple of different things here. The first is that we see that the master owned it all. If you were to ask me, if I make $100, how much of that $100 belongs to God? I would tell you all of it belongs to God. It's His resource that He has entrusted me with. How much does He ask me to give back to Him? He asked me to give 10%. Now last week, in this particular sermon, I did a little bit of math. And I did it wrong. And y'all told me about it. So I'm not doing no more math. I'm better with words than I am with numbers, and so that's why Jesus didn't call me to be an accountant, okay? But one would have thought I would have gotten that math right, and I didn't, and so I'm not, no math. You figure it out. But, yeah, we have worksheets in the lobby. We don't really. I'm just playing. I said something about the lobby earlier and found out that we didn't have what I thought we had in the lobby, and people were being asked, and so I was asked not to say it this week, so don't look in the lobby for worksheets. Don't look at them. It's not there. But 100% of what I bring in, of what's in my life, that is God's. In fact, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I, in myself, am God's. And so if I am God's, everything I have is God's. Therefore, it's all God's. It's a resource of God, and He can use it as the owner however He wants to. But then Jesus also teaches that increase is expected. It's expected. The master gave each to his own ability, the Bible says. So each of the servants was assessed, and the amount that they could handle was given to them. They weren't all given equal amounts. So it's not a million, it's not 10 million, it's not 50, it's not 5. It's whatever is according to your own ability. You are unique in your ability, and you are not living up against anyone else or to anyone else, and you are not, you don't judge yourself according to anyone else. If I get a certain number of talents or a certain amount of money, and I invest it in a certain way, and I bring in 2 additional dollars, and you get a little more than that, and you bring in more money than that, I'm not standing here in judgment of you, nor is the master judging me according to what you can do. You might be a better handler of money in that area. You might be a better handler of other things in those areas too. We are not equal in every way when it comes to our ability to handle certain things. So, I was working for a guy years ago. His name was Bob, and Bob owned an insurance company that I was working for, and he had made me a sales manager, and I was sitting there in the office and talking with him about it, and he turned his checkbook around and he pushed it over to me, and I averted my eyes because my parents taught me you don't look at other people's checkbooks. That's rude. But he said, look at that. And so I looked at that. And what shocked me is I didn't know there could be that many numbers in front of the decimal point. I understood it behind the decimal point. I just didn't know in the front, and there were commas and everything. And I was like, wow. And he said, I think you can do well in this business. And between his insurance company and his investments, he made about $10 million a year, give or take. And I was like, wow. Well, about a year later, I started feeling God move in my heart about moving into ministry more full-time and pushing in that direction. And I was like, I don't know too many preachers that are making $10 million a year. In fact, I don't personally know any preachers that are making $10 million. And then there's Bob saying, I think you can do really well here. I'll help you. And I had to go to him that day and one day and say, Bob, we need to make a transition plan because I need the transition out of here to be able to go into do ministry. And that's just, I know that's my calling. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And I could be standing here going, well, what if I'm not making $10 million a year, just so you know, I'm not. And so, man, I'm not living up to what Bob was doing. And so, but I'm not in a race with Bob. I'm a steward that God has entrusted a certain thing to, and my job is to steward what he's put into my hands, not try to live up to what he's put into Bob's hands. Poverty and prosperity doctrine judge people based upon more or less being better. But it's not about more or less with you. It's about increase with Him. It's about my relationship with God, not about my relationship with you. And in the parable of the sower, Jesus describes good ground. And He says that some of this good ground brought forth 100% increase. Some brought 60% increase. And some brought 30% increase. And he said all of these different variables and different levels of increase were all good ground. We weren't all meant to produce the exact same thing. Jesus taught that the owner has the rights and the steward has the responsibility. But God blesses what he's given us. The master didn't tell every steward exactly how to invest every talent. But he did have an expectation. The servant that hid everything, he did not. He did not accomplish a God-given goal. And so, therefore, the master was not happy with him. So this means this. This means that every time I spend or give money to anything, it's a spiritual decision. If God owns it all and he's entrusted it to me, then there's a spiritual component whether I am buying ice cream Jesus loves ice cream. Or I'm giving it in an offering or my tithe. There's a spiritual component to that. We are here to properly steward what God has given us. Now keep in mind that the curse is gone. So this is again not punitive. It's not punitive. But Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, put me to the test. He said, listen, test me in this. Prove me. See if I will do what I said I will do. And maybe you're a tither right now. You know that 10% of what you, your increase is a tithe to God. But maybe you're not a tither. If you say, I'm not a tither, I'm never going to be a tither, I don't want to be a tither, you still can come into church and feel good about what God's doing in your life. There's no punitive aspect to what I'm preaching and teaching right now. But if you say, I don't know about this, but I'd like to kind of put my feet in the water and see how it works, then do it. Tithe, give it 90 days and see what happens. A good workout routine requires at least that. See what God does. And if it's not working, if he isn't doing what he said, stop tithing. Go back to what you were doing before. Well, really, Pastor, you really want to... Either he's God or he's not. Either his covenant is true or it's not. Sometimes we will trust God with our soul and struggle to trust him with our finances. If the financial aspect of things isn't right, and it messes me up somehow. I've never seen that happen, but if it did, I can work to replace finances. If I leave this earth without Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there's no opportunity to change that decision. And so I encourage you, this is a small thing in comparison to the big thing that we all declare in our lives and hearts today, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Thought number three. Somebody's thinking right now, yeah, it's about time you moved on. Thought number three. The covenant of blessing increases your life while increasing God's kingdom. It increases your life while increasing God's kingdom. I want you to notice something that struck me uniquely here. The focus of the covenant that Malachi is talking about here is food in my house. He says, bring your full tithe into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. That's the focus of this covenant. That's the point of this covenant. The upkeep and management of the temple was what the tithe was for. It was to take care of the livelihood of those who are ministering in the temple. It was also supporting the ministry to those who worshiped in the temple. And then in the New Testament, God takes it to another level where he says, I want you to use this to further the spreading of the gospel around the world. And then he says that you need to help the widows and the poor and the orphans. And all of this is happening because of the covenant of blessing. So he says the focus of this whole covenant is that there will be food in my house. But the blessing focus of this covenant is you focused. Is me individually focused. So look at what he says in Malachi chapter 3, 10 and 11. He says, pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you. So the focus of the covenant at large is for the temple of God. But the focus of the blessing is you. So God must bless you in order for his temple or his house or his church, us collectively, to be blessed. It's how it works. There's not a punitive aspect. If you don't give anything, you're welcome in the house of God. You're wanted in the church of God. But this is an opportunity to enter into covenant. Now, sometimes we understand this idea of blessing. We get blessing. Because blessing shows up in our life and we go, wow, I noticed this because a check showed up in the mail that was unexpected. It was a bonus that came in that I didn't know I was receiving. A friend walked up to me and said, hey, I just feel like giving this to you. After first service, somebody came up to me and said, they said, I'm so thankful that you're teaching this. It's so true. And in our life, we had this miracle happen that God, we knew we had to make this choice. We had no other options. And so we made it and we were thinking, how are we possibly going to afford it? And then somebody out of the blue the next day walked up to us and they wrote us, they handed us something and said, I just felt like I needed to give this to you. And it was a check for the exact amount of money to handle the need that had just been dealt with the day before. And they said, it's amazing. We're really excited about this. And we understand that blessing. But what is he talking about when he says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake? What does that mean? And I'll explain it by telling this story. It's happened to a family here in the church just this past week, and I have their permission to tell the story. They were having consistent car trouble. And this car was a good car. They just bought it, and this is not a good time in their life to buy another car. But they couldn't figure out how to fix it. So they finally brought it to their normal mechanic. He looked at it and he said, listen, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to take this to the dealer. I can't help you with this. Well, everybody knows that the D word equals also the C word. D, dealer, C, cash. And so they were like, okay, we don't have a choice. So they brought the car to the dealership. The dealership looked it all over and said, all right, we have over $3,000 worth of repairs that need to be done on this car to put it up to spec. And they said, well, you know, what choice do we have? I just go ahead. And so the dealership went ahead and did the work and then came back and presented them with their bill. And their bill was just over $300. And they said, hold on, you said it was going to be $3,000. And the dealership said, yes, but as we got into it, we realized that a number of these situations were being dealt with recalls or by the company, the manufacturer. And so what should have been over $3,000 is now just a little over $300. And is that okay? I'm thinking yes. So you could say, well, you know what? That's just, I mean, it happened to be recalls and this was going on. It's all just happenstance. And maybe it was all just happenstance. Or maybe God said, I know you're in a place right now. You're faithful. I know you're in a place right now where this is not going to work for you. This $3,000, can you pay it? Yes. But is it going to hurt you? Yes. And so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to rebuke the thing that's trying to eat up the increase in your life. And I'm going to reduce that bill. Because I know, just from personal example, usually when I go in, the bill is for a little more than what they originally quoted me. Rarely is it less. It's not against anybody, it's just you don't know what's happening until you get into it. And in this case, God did a work in their life, and they're praising God for it. God will rebuke the devourer. Things that should be costing you more than they are will suddenly, they won't take as much of your resource as they ought to. Poverty and prosperity doctrines would say, well, just give everything and watch the truckloads of blessing just roll up into your life. But stewardship teaching says this, steward according to God's plan and you'll have all your need. And His promise is that you will see increase in your life. Now, sometimes people have applied the idea of tithing to both time and talent as well as finances. And I'll tell you why I don't think that's accurate. The first is because never in Scripture do we see that. Well, you see the word talent used, but it's not, that word doesn't mean the talent in the same way that we do. It's a sum of money. But the other reason is because we are called to tithe off of increase. And I cannot increase my time. I've prayed for 36-hour days before, but they never happen. I've prayed for, 25-hour days, and it doesn't happen. So I can't tithe off of something that I can't increase. It's not the increase of my life. That's why I think this is very financial. And it's not always easy. When Christy and I were in California, we were going through a very difficult time financially. And And we were trusting God, and we hadn't talked to anybody about it or anything, but I was in service one day, and after church, this man comes walking up to me, and he shakes my hand, and he says, "Pastor, I just want to tell you that I noticed that there's a bunch of strings hanging down from your coat." And I was so embarrassed, because I wanted to, you know, look halfway decent. Usually, as the lining starts falling out of your suit coat, you get under there with scissors and but apparently I'd missed it. And so I was embarrassed, and I was like, "Oh man, thanks for telling me. Hey, thanks for telling me. Yeah, I got to get those scissors out and go away." But he didn't go away, and he said, "I feel like I need to take you shopping for a new suit." My embarrassment went to another level. I was like, "Oh, no, 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 no. You don't have to do that. I just, you know, we'll just take care of it. It's not a big deal. He's like, "No, I need to take you to the store and get you a suit." I said, All right. Get it out of my face. But all right. So he went on. A couple of days later, he comes back. "Hey, when are we going to put that on the calendar?" "We are not going to put it on the calendar. But, yes, we're going to get to it. About a month later, he came to me and he said, "Hey, I really feel like I need to do this. And are you trying to stop me from getting a blessing from God? And do you, I mean," and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, he really isn't going to go away." So I said, "All right, well, let's put it on the calendar." So we put it on the calendar, and he came to the office one day, near the close of office time, and picked me up, and I had mapped out a couple places that I knew where I could buy suits, and you know, I bought 100% rayon suits, and you know, discount stores, and so on and so forth, and so he's just driving by all of them, and I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going to get you a suit." I said, "Yeah, but we could go there and there and there," and he said, "No, we're going to Macy's." Now in my world at this moment, Macy's was like way high end. I'd never bought a suit from Macy's before. I looked at them, and then I looked at the price tag and went on my way. He said, "We're going to Macy's." I said, "You don't have to do that." He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "You think I'm going to have you tell people that I bought you a suit that it is not a good suit?" I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, "I don't want you to buy me a suit at all." So how do you like that? But you just won't leave me alone. So we get to Macy's and we go up to the men's section, and the clerk is there, and he goes, "Hey, you guys just made it." We're like, "For what?" And he said, "One day a year, Macy's does a sale where it's the biggest sale of the year, and all the proceeds go to charity." And so they said, "Oh, cool. So basically you're going to get two suits for the price of one." And the guy looked at me and said, "You know what this means?" And I said, "Absolutely. God saved you 50% on a suit." And he said, "No, it means you're getting two suits." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I was done fighting. And I wore those suits until the lining started falling out of those suits too. And what was happening? We were in a tough time, and yet God still was blessing us beyond what we could handle ourselves. We were faithful in our tithe and in our offerings. We didn't feel like we had to do it in order to buy God off. We can't. You can't buy God's favor. But we were in covenant with Him. And I will tell you that Christy and I, He has never, ever let us down. God is good. And He loves you dearly. And the reason He is speaking to us today is because He loves us. He's asking us to trust Him. There's no punitive nature to this, but there is great blessing. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I'm asking you, Savior, that you use us for your glory. These are your promises we're talking about. If somebody takes the step today and says, "Yep, I'm gonna test him," just like he said I could, I pray that you just blow their minds with your goodness, your grace, with your provision. Thank you for the miracles you've already done, and I thank you for the miracles we're going to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Elders, come forward, and let's sing for a moment and close this service. If you need prayer, come forward and let us join you in prayer today.